I cut that out. Right, are you guys amped?
Oh, yeah. I'm amped.
Nick just chugged a whole can of amp. So
I'm so amped.
He better be amped. What kind of amp is that?
Oh my god, dude. I got amp energy lightning. It's charged with L carotenes and shock of lemonade flavor.
That's exciting.
In a can.
So if anybody from AMP wants to sponsor the show, we never heard back from Pepsi. So all right. So this is a Big Planet podcast number 20. This is getting intense. This is 20.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's yeah. That's the one where you buy gold rings. Is that the one?
What? I don't think that's the one. Anyway, I'm Kevin. I'm here all the time. Nick is here all the time. But Jared is not here this time. But we have a special guest.
I'm here.
He's here. Who are you?
Julian May.
Julian May.
Party.
We're so amped.
Totally.
You can tell by that horn. So, yeah. So, we had a lot of stuff in this episode. But I should say, start off... you can subscribe to this on iTunes. You can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/BigPlanetComics.
Yep, yep.
.com. And we're on Twitter at Big Planet Comics.
Email us.
Email us. Oh, podcast at Big Planet Comics.
Yeah, there
any
we
questions,
go.
Comments, anything like that. So yeah, this week we got a bunch of viewer mail, more than ever.
That's a lot.
So thanks to you guys for sending in a bazillion questions, I think approximately.
It's an overwhelming amount.
It is, it's true. And then we got a bunch of reviews. And then we're going to do our quick picks. We're going to talk about Arkham City. And then we're going to be done after all that.
All right.
All right.
That is finished.
Let's get right into this viewer mail. What's going to get you more amped than that?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Our viewers are the X-Men?
Yeah, our viewers are the X-Men. So
our viewers.
This first. Yeah, I always say viewers. I like they're watching this. They just look at the picture while they just look at their screen. Anyway, so this first question. Usually we just kind of wing it. But this one we had to think about it a little bit.
Yeah.
And our brains are small, so it took us a long time. But anyway, let's get into this. This is from Christian Tribbistone. He says, love the podcast, guys.
Wahoo.
All right.
Wahoo. That's nice. God, I'm addicted to sound effects. He says, hope this isn't too ridiculous or boring of a question with an exclamation point.
I'm already falling asleep.
We'll be the judges of that. he says, if Marvel came to you three, that's us.
Yep.
And said you could each be in charge of a title. Oh, it's only one. We each came up with like three or four. Each be in charge of a title in their own New 52 line-wide relaunch reboot thing. Which title, characters, concepts, and creators would you put together? Thanks, Christian.
Boom, boom.
So, yeah, we each did a little bit of work on this.
We got this.
Let's go around the table. Let's start with, we'll start with Nick.
Oh, all right. Well, one of my first choices was a new Morbius regular series.
That's awesome.
Everybody loves Morbius. He recently appeared in Spider-Man, so he's kind of got... a thing that could lead into his own series.
And he did that Silver Surfer miniseries with Stan Lee.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
No, wait, that's Mobius.
That is Mobius.
Mobius, the living artist.
The living vampire. but that's going to be written by Brian K. Vaughan.
He's pretty good.
With art by Kevin Maguire of Justice League International fame.
I think that would be pretty cool.
That makes sense, sweet.
Goofy, but with a big, epic, sweeping storyline.
Exactly.
Cool. All right, well, let's go around the table. Let's see what Julian brings. What can you bring to the podcast, Julian?
Yeah, I was thinking a Nick Fury... New series by Ed Brubaker with art by J.H. Williams III.
And you were saying like a 60s.
Yeah, like a 60s retro vibe.
I can totally see. Well, Brubaker would be awesome because he does like all the espionage stuff, right? Yeah. And then, God, J.H. Williams doing like Steranko type
those
art.
Big old spreads.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, having it set in the past too, it helps spread out the knowledge about the new MU.
Yeah, exactly.
The MNU.
The MU.
No, just the MU.
Yeah, the N silent. All right, so I'm going with one that would last like three issues, and that is bring back Frankin Castle.
Yeah.
Because Frankin Castle is awesome. Right. Frankin Castle was great. But my Frankin Castle would be written by Warren Ellis with art by James Stokoe, who does Orkstein. So it would be
insane.
It would just be insane on all levels. But it would be incredible, I think. Ellis would bring his crazy stuff. It'd be really good when it started out, and then an issue wouldn't come out for like a year because Stokoe would be drawing it, but it would be absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, you got another one, right?
I got another one. What do we got? I got Machine Man.
Everybody loves Machine Man. Loves Machine Man, who first made his appearance in a 2001 comic by Jack Kirby.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, and then he was famous in Next Wave.
Oh, I love Next Wave.
He hated humans. But this one would be written by Jeff Parker and drawn by Nathan Fox.
And Nathan Fox is...
you got to say it like that. Nathan Fox.
Nathan Fox is Paul Pope's little brother, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he started out drawing a lot like Paul Pope, but he's recently gotten a little bit of more of his own style.
He's coming into his own. He did a really awesome cover for that Key of Z issue that came out last week.
Yeah.
No, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
It'd be insane.
Yeah.
All our comics are just like pure insanity. Yeah. We don't have anything that anybody would actually want to read except for us.
On that note, my next comic would be a MODOK comic.
Everybody wants a MODOK
comic. Totally underrated, and I'd put Don Rosa in charge of it.
Probably most people don't know who Don Rosa is. So.
Yeah, the man who revolutionized Scrooge McDuck.
He did. He's the man behind the duck.
Isn't he dead?
No.
He's got time for MODOK. Right?
I hope Don Rosa's family isn't listening to this because they're gonna be worried now. Don Rosa's fine. I think he did have some health problems.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he'd be awesome for that.
You sure he's not dead?
Yeah, I'm sure he's not dead. Karl Barks is dead.
No, mm-hmm. He is dead.
Yeah. Abraham Lincoln's dead.
Mm-hmm. No.
Don Rosa's alive and kicking it.
Abraham Lincoln is not dead.
All right, my next one is pretty straightforward. I just think they should bring back Ecstatics and have it be by Peter Milligan and Mike Allred, because that was awesome.
Yes, it was amazing. And I have a feeling they might. I heard something about a new Ecstatic series maybe coming soon.
That would be amazing.
Hopefully it's by them. It would suck. It could suck if it was by anybody else.
Well, if it happens, you have me to thank for that.
You heard it here first.
It's true. All right, Nick, what do you got?
Okay, I got Spider-Man. This one's more mainstream by Jonathan Layman, the guy who writes Chew, which is really funny.
That'd be cool. Especially he did that that three-part crossover thing that was like Spider-Man, Deadpool, and the Hulk.
Yeah.
And he wrote Spider-Man really well on that. So,
and this would be even better because it would have art by Frank Quitely.
No, who's that? Frank Quitely, boo.
Yeah, he does stink.
Oh, wait. Yeah, no, that would be incredible. Has Frank Quitely ever drawn Spider-Man?
I feel like he hasn't.
Yeah, I don't feel like he has.
I bet he has.
I don't even think in like Tangled Web or any of those weird little things. I don't think so.
I bet he drew it like in his basement.
Yeah, probably. He probably draws
and
it
and then
all
ripped
the time.
It up.
He makes his own. He has his own like 20-page Spider-Man comic that he just drew.
So you got another one?
Yeah, Julian? I got the last one. I'm on a villain kick. I do Omega Red, gets his own title.
Wait, what?
Omega Red by Paul Dini and Bruce Timm.
Well, that was going to be Avengers by Paul Dini.
I changed my mind.
Omega Red.
Omega Red's, he's like a Wolverine villain, right?
Yeah. He's like a Soviet super weapon.
Yeah, Soviet super weapon. He's got the tentacles that come out of his arms.
Yeah.
And he like kills people with his body odor.
Well, would it take place during the Cold War?
Whenever.
Well, I mean, I guess
he's always awesome.
All right. So was that? Does anybody have other ones? I have two more. So I'm just going to
two more. Shoot, bra.
Well, I got Runaways by Brandon Graham, who does King City. I think that would be amazing.
Yep, that would be awesome.
That might be a mini series. It might be a little bit better.
Yeah.
And then Fantastic Four by Darwin Cook.
That would be amazing. All right.
That would be absolutely incredible. Yeah. So I think we answered that. Okay. Right.
Yeah. No, that was good.
We went above and beyond.
Yeah, we almost got to 52.
Hooray for us! Well. I can't find the right thing. All right, so so thanks Christian for sending that question. We're gonna move on to the next one. Question 2 of 6.
Oh Jesus,
this is a
podcast gonna be like 40 hours long.
Yeah, it's gonna be long. Okay, so this is from Nate. He says, hey guys, I recently read the first two trades of Air from Vertigo and thought it was fantastic. Is there anything along those lines that you can think of? I also read Cairo and thought it was great. The first thing that jumped to mind for me was Aaron and Ahmed, which was a Vertigo hardcover that came out this year that kind of covers similar material and is similarly trippy.
Yeah.
And that book was pretty awesome.
What do you think, Nick? It's true. I got nothing.
Nothing. I think Aaron and Ahmed, though, is pretty good.
It's really good.
It's definitely worth checking out.
But she recently wrote, I feel like she wrote something.
I feel like she probably wrote something, too.
Well, she wrote something for Marvel recently. I'm trying to remember what it is. All right, I'll think about it. Come back to me.
All right.
So, I mean, I would say Aaron and Ahmed's a really good one. Graveyard of the Empires.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Is like a cool like zombie thing that takes place in Afghanistan that's worth checking out too. He says, P.S., and this is a segs into the next question. If somebody asks for comics for Halloween, you should mention the first volume of Lock and Key and N, which is a Stephen King thing. They both creep me out. And the comic I Love Halloween, that one's funny and messed up, which is true. It definitely is.
Yeah, it is.
So thanks, Nate, for sending that in. And thanks for answering the next question, which is from John. He says, thanks for the entertaining podcast. You're quite welcome. I started coming to your Georgetown store last spring and then found out a month later that you had a podcast. Since Halloween is coming up, do you have any good recommendations for horror books, ongoing or graphic novels?
I got a couple. I was thinking N by Stephen King.
Mm.
Yep.
Good choice.
I think I have one more. I don't remember what the other one
was. It Lock and Key?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah,
unfortunately, yeah. He says his current favorites are American Vampire, Severed, and Lock and Key.
Those are all.
And he likes Stephen King novels.
Those are all really good.
Yeah, so.
Well, if he hasn't written the Dark Tower books, I wonder, because those are actually pretty good. They're kind of horror-ish, but yeah.
Yeah, the first one especially, because as Jay Lee art is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a bunch of good. We kind of answered this question a couple weeks ago about horror comics.
Yeah, we talked about The Secret, which is really good.
Yeah, The Secret and the EC Comics stuff from the 50s is great. As far as newer stuff, I mean, it seems like you're reading all the really good stuff right now. American Vampire, Severed, and Lock and Key. It's not exactly a horror book, but Animal Man has a lot of horror elements to it, and it's really awesome. So I'd say check that one out, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely good.
One of the books we're going to cover today, Casper's Scare School.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
It's if you're like five, it's great, but we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully that was a little bit helpful.
A little bit.
I definitely check out Animal Man. I think you'd be surprised at how good it is. All right. So moving on.
Also Walking Dead.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely Walking Dead. And Sea of Red is another good one. The Rick Remender, really Kieran Dwyer, zombie pirates thing.
That's pretty awesome. Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
It's also really dark right now. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff out there.
We can go on and on.
Happy Halloween.
That's terrible.
All right, so our next question is from Dave. He says, hey, guys, on last week's podcast, you featured the Star Trek and Legion of Superheroes crossover issue number one, which didn't live up to its potential. I agree with that.
Yeah, it's dumb.
We'll get into some Legion stuff a little bit later, too. But if someone was interested in checking out a good crossover event and trade paperbacks, what would you recommend they check out? He's got another question, too, but let's answer this one first.
Boom, Tarzan, Superman. No, that one's really bad.
Amalgams.
You love the Amalgam definitely. Books, right?
Amalgams are great. Lobo the Duck and Dark Claw.
Especially there was the animated Dark Claw one.
Yeah.
We should say Dark Claw is a...
it's Wolverine plus Batman.
Wolverine plus Batman equals comics.
Yeah, equals Dark Claw.
This issue, this current issue of Archie has Michael Strahan in it.
Well, no, that gets into the next question. But I would say one of my favorite crossovers is actually the original Secret Wars.
Yeah, no, but I think he means like real life people. Oh,
no, that's the other question. He means like Star Trek, Legion of Superheroes.
No, I read all the questions.
So like JLA Avengers would be one.
Star Trek is, JLA Avengers Star Trek is real people to Nick.
I would not recommend JLA Avengers.
No, I love JLA Avengers. Do you? Perez, yeah.
Keith Busiek.
Kurt Busiek.
He's like the Jed Whedon of the Busiek family.
Yeah.
Okay, so like, yeah, crossovers between series. I actually, Alien Predator. The original Dark Horse one is really good. Mm-hmm. And you're a big fan of the RoboCop Terminator thing.
There's a RoboCop Terminator comic that came out in the 90s where like basically the Terminators are using RoboCop to create Skynet or whatever. It's incredible.
Sounds phenomenal.
It's classy. Yeah,
yeah. There's an army of RoboCop Terminators. It's incredible.
So he has another question that sort of goes into what you were just talking about, which is my other question comes from the occasional real person making their way into a comic. For example, Obama and Spider-Man. I'm not generally fond of this type of issue. What superhero comic or graphic novel had your favorite appearance by a celebrity or person from world history? Now, I know Julian's chomping at the bit because he's got a good one.
I got a great answer.
Go for it. Go for
it. It's an old issue of Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, with Don Rickles in it.
Nice.
It's phenomenal.
By Jack Kirby, right?
Yeah, by Jack Kirby.
And it's actually amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He writes Don Rickles like
perfectly.
He's like the perfect Don
Rickles. As if he's really there, busting Superman's chops.
I like the Superman Muhammad Ali comic.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
That's a pretty good one.
Charles Barkley fighting Godzilla.
That's definitely
is that what it's called? Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Godzilla got busy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a real thing. There's also an amazing Spider-Man issue that has the cast of SNL in it. But it's like,
it's like
John Belushi and like Eddie Murphy and everybody. And that thing's kind of a hoot.
It's a hoot.
Most of these things I'd say are kind of, you know, they're novelties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get a lot of like really cool comics. I know there was like a Guiding Light crossover with Marvel.
Ooh, gross. Jesus.
What's your favorite soap opera?
One Life to Live.
Yeah, that's mine too. I think we can all agree on that.
Is that a real one?
Yeah, that's a real one.
All right, good.
All right, so and he says, I like the game show you did last week. Keep on podcasting. It's definitely helping me decide how to widen my reading lists. Catch you at the store.
All right, let's do the
Dave
quiz.
Rockwell. Yeah, we're not doing the quiz this week.
Aww.
We have a lot of stuff. We have six
all right, next time,
viewer
next
mail
time.
Questions. Yeah. But we'll get back to it. We have a lot of stuff. All All right, so oh, maybe we only have five. Anyway, here's the last question. This is from Mark. This is Mark Miller, who sends us questions often.
Yep, yep.
Again, not to be confused with Mark Miller,
the writer of Nemesis,
who never sends us questions. So thanks a lot, Mark Millar.
What a Clint.
He sends us questions. How do I end this?
Yeah, exactly. He said he wanted to know that he wanted us to know that he enjoyed the musical interlude in the last podcast. Good stuff. Well, that's all me, so thanks.
You're welcome.
And he says, has there been any news on more Orc Stain or non-player? Both fantastic comics. Specifically the comic. He doesn't care about the movie that's coming out. So I looked this up. Orc Stain is coming out December 28th.
Yeah, as soon as James Tocco finishes drawing Frankie Castle.
Yeah, as soon as Frankie Castle is done, he's going to start working on that. So that's cool. That's not that far away.
Yeah, no.
It's still pretty far away, considering the last issue came out in like June or something that. But non-player, the news is not quite as good on that one. Nate Simpson, who's the writer and artist of that, he broke his shoulder in a bicycle accident. So I have here that it's going to come out in ... a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a while for that one.
With 5 years, probably.
Yeah. He initially said it was going to be potentially a year between issues, and now with this broken shoulder thing, I think it's going to be even longer.
Yeah, tough break.
All right, so I guess that didn't take as long as I thought it was going to.
Nah.
Yeah, good. We answered all those questions, and if you guys have any questions, which it seems like you do, send them to podcast@bigplanetcomics.com.
Yep.
Should I use the X-Men music again to end this section?
No.
Don't tell me what to do.
Overruled.
All right, so let's do this. Let's move right into reviews. What do you guys think?
All right.
We love comics. They're swell. Except when they're written by Scott Lobdell.
I prefer important books like Louis Riel.
It's time for reviews.
Finally.
Finally. Wait, finally what?
Time for reviews.
No, it's finally time for reviews.
I've been chomping at the bit to talk about something.
Oh, yeah.
Have you? All right, so we should just get right into this. Our first book this week is Avengers Solo. This is a 5-issue miniseries. Is each issue going to concentrate on a different character?
I'm not sure. I feel like it's all Hawkeye, but I could be wrong.
So, yeah, this one's about Hawkeye. This is written by Jen Van Meter with art by Roger Robinson. And then it's got a backup story by Jim McCann and Clayton Henry.
Avengers
Academy story, which is awesome because Avengers Academy is always awesome. But Nick, why don't you tell people what Avengers Solo was about?
Well, it was about this robot that's created and sent to the side. Oh, wait, that's Solo. Yeah, the movie with Mario Van Peebles.
It stars Mario Van Peebles as Hawkeye.
Yeah. He wants to be like Mike, so they make him a bald black man. That's what happens in the movie.
Wait, what are you talking about?
You've never seen that movie?
I haven't.
They're building him and they're like, what do you want to look like, Solo? And he's like, be like Mike. And so they make him a bald. Amazing. They make him a bald Mario Van Peebles instead.
He's like
they're like, it's close enough.
He's like, I want to look like the guy from Posse.
Yeah.
All right, but what is it actually about?
It's actually about Hawkeye kind of doing this detective shtick. It's a little Batman-ish. He talks to the police and he's trying to solve this mystery of this missing girl, and he gets wrapped up in a conspiracy, and he flies an awesome hover bike.
He does do that,
which is incredible. I thought this was pretty great. I don't know, maybe not great, but I really liked it. I enjoyed it. I liked seeing Hawkeye as a detective solving this, and it's an interesting little conspiracy story.
Yeah, I think it's definitely enjoyable. It is kind of like popcorn.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely, yeah.
But in a fun way.
And I really like the art, too.
I think the thing you said about Batman is pretty on the head. I mean, you could easily stick Batman in the story and nobody would think, like, oh, this would be better with Hawkeye.
Yeah.
I mean, it is good, though. I mean, it's just like, like you said, it's like a fun little mystery. The art's decent enough. It's not fantastic or anything, but some of the action sequences are pretty cool, and there's enough stuff going on that I'll probably read the next issue of this.
Yeah,
for sure.
What I thought was much better was the Avengers Academy backup story,
which takes place after the issue of Avengers Academy that came out this week.
Right, which is fine. I mean,
just in case people haven't read it yet.
But Avengers Academy, I mean, Nick will talk about Avengers Academy as a series a little bit later on. But
I will.
Yeah, Avengers Academy has been very solid. If any of you guys are missing the sort of Runaways vibe. Avengers Academy is definitely the place to go, and this is backup story kind of represents that perfectly.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so Avengers Solo is a solid book.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on to Casper's Scare School, number 1 of 4.
Oh, yeah.
By Paul Morrissey, not to be confused with the guy that directed like Flesh of Frankenstein and Hamas and some of those other movies with Andy Warhol in the 70s.
Or the guy who sings all those sad songs.
Yeah, yeah. Although Morrissey would probably write a really good Casper comic.
Casper is so sad. He's a ghost and nobody cares.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the art in this is by Sabrina Alberghetti. And I thought this was pretty good, actually. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a comic for 5-year-olds or whatever. But Julian, not to put you on the spot, can you give people like the basic plot of this Casper book?
Yeah, yeah. Casper goes to scare school, obviously, and has no scary friends because he's friends with a fleshy, as they're called in the book.
I thought that was kind of weird. Yeah, it's kind of derogatory. Fleshies, yeah, yeah. It's like muggles or something. But,
yeah, but yeah. he ends up taking the other scarer juniors out to go trick-or-treating, and, you know, they have a blast.
Yeah, they eat candy.
It's pretty simple. I mean, that's basically what happens.
That's about it.
There's a lot of little funny stuff in there. Like, they meet kids dressed up like the Ghostbusters, and they get really scared. And, like, they scare people. The girl that's a zombie gets all of her limbs stolen by some dogs. And, like, I don't know. I mean, it's obviously not a comic for, like, hirsute 30-year-old
no, like
dudes,
the
yeah,
like the people that have been asking us, like, we got a couple questions about kids comics. This is a good new kids comic there.
Yeah, like, I actually think I'll read the next issue of this. Yeah. I will say there's a main story, and that's the one we're talking about. There's also a backup story that's just kind of like a little throwaway thing about like a little kid version of Dr. Jekyll.
And then
there's a reprint also of a classic Casper thing which was
actually really great.
Yeah, yeah, it's good stuff. And that's recolored, and it looks really nice. Yeah, but I mean, especially if you're looking for a comic for your kid for Halloween, this is
definitely.
It's really good. And the art's great.
Yeah.
It reminds me of kind of Dexter's Laboratory, that kind of Craig McCracken Powerpuff Girls style. No. So Casper Scare School, surprisingly good stuff. Sometimes these kids' books are like totally incomprehensible. But no, this one was cool. Yeah. So that's Casper Scare School.
Casper.
Yeah. All right. So moving on to something that's way weirder than that. This is DC Comics Presents, which are like these $7.99 trades. This is the Jack Kirby Omnibus Sampler, which I don't know if that means that all this stuff is actually going to appear in these Jack Kirby Omnibuy.
Probably.
Yeah, eventually.
If it's an omnibus, right?
I want to talk about that for a second. Mm. How can you have more than one omnibus? Mm-hmm. Doesn't omnibus mean all encompassing?
Yeah.
Or either that or it's a transformer who's a bus.
Both.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I kind of flipped through this, but I didn't get a chance to read much of it. Julian, you pretty much read this.
Yeah, I read
a lot
of it.
You?
I so, mean, if it's Jack Kirby, what's not to love?
No, I definitely agree with that. I'm definitely a Jack Kirby fan. I just didn't really get to it. I probably shouldn't even admit that. I probably could have gotten away with pretending that I had read it.
For sure.
So that's what I'm gonna do.
So were there any standout stories in this for you?
I think I Was Big Game on Neptune was really my favorite, kind of the most dangerous game twist with aliens.
I also think like you showed me one of the stories a minute ago that looked pretty great. I haven't actually read any of it yet, but there's a guy who like invents an ingenious method of transporting cows by dehydrating them and making them flat, and then he gets dehydrated and some crazy hijinks.
Yeah, he has to rehydrate himself.
He's a flat man.
I Was the 2D Man.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also a story in here. Is it called Thunderhammer? Which is kind of like like a proto Thor story,
a pre-Thor thing.
Which I think that's pretty interesting. There's also kind of like a Moby Dick in outer space thing as well.
Yeah,
it's just like it seems like it's a lot of the Kirby stuff that was.
It's the kind of like wild experimentation you'd expect.
Yeah, like his pre-superhero stuff that was all pretty cool.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're a Kirby fan, I mean, I check and see. I'm assuming this stuff's going to be in the omnibus, but if you don't want to spend, you know, $50, this is definitely a good way to get a sampler of like non-superhero Kirby stuff that you probably never read before. I think for $8, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I
definitely pick it up.
Yeah, so that's the Kirby Omnibus. We're zooming through this thing.
Zoom away, bro.
Yeah, let's zoom away. Oh, geez. Never mind. Dead Man's Run number 0 is the next book.
Boom, boom, boom. Pick of the week. Bam.
Boom.
Dead Man's Run.
So this is written by Greg Pak, which is the only reason we're even talking about it. Usually we wouldn't talk about anything from Aspen. They do like Soulfire and
Paxter.
Fathom is the other one. This is drawn by Tony Parker, the point guard for the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Should I tell people what this is about?
I love this comic.
You can
dude.
Try.
Oh, Nick, you love it? Why don't you tell people what this comic's about then?
It's terrible. But I kind of loved it just because I was like, what is happening in this thing? It was like some guy's like, oh, I work at this prison down the street. And then the prison explodes. And he's like, I got to go take care of this. And he's like, I don't know, but there's a secret underground part of this prison. And then somebody's like, it's hell, literally. And there's like demons and I don't know.
And then it's hell and people are breaking out.
It was actually hell.
Yeah. It's really short. It's a number zero. It's just like 10 pages long. I don't know. Do we want to talk about this anymore?
No.
Okay.
But it's great.
Is it great? I mean, I like Greg Pak. I really like his stuff he did on Hulk, especially. I mean, he did a long run on Hulk that had a lot of really great stuff. I just don't think this is one of his good things.
I think I'm going to read the next issue.
Are you?
Issue one. Yeah.
If we order.
I'll be back with a report.
Speaking of Hulk.
Yeah.
Incredible Hulk number one came out this week.
What the Hulk?
What the Hulk?
Incredibly pretty darn good.
It was definitely. So this is by Jason Aaron, who of course writes lots of good comics.
He's got a sweet beard too.
Well, Jason Aaron's having a good week because he wrote another really good comic this week too.
Nah. No, I'm just kidding.
Anyway.
You mean Scout?
Yeah. And the art in this is by Mark Silvestri. We'll get into it a little bit, but yeah, I mean, the basic story of this, basically at the end of Fear Itself, Banner and Hulk, Bruce Banner and Hulk separated.
Yeah.
And then this starts out with Hulk kind of in the center of the Earth.
Yeah. Fighting monsters.
Yeah, underground chilling.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how he got there, but he did.
He just wanted to get away from people. And that's where he thought he could get away, in the middle of the Earth with lava everywhere where nobody could actually go.
But it ends up there's kind of this sect of mole men that live down there. That don't seem like they're part of the regular mole men society. They're like,
yeah, they're like a separate tribe. They're like a secret tribe.
They're like people that live in subways.
Yeah.
They're like that version of the mole men.
Yeah.
But,
Warlocks?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the basic story of this is pretty simple, right? He's just fighting monsters and then
somebody shows up and they're like, you have to help us stop Bruce Banner. And then like there's some crazy thing with Bruce Banner.
Yeah, should we say what the thing with Bruce Banner is?
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's pretty out there.
It's pretty insane.
It's pretty insane, but
fun.
Yeah, and it has me incredibly curious as to what's going to happen.
I will say it casts Bruce Banner in a role that you do not typically see Bruce Banner in.
A new light.
And it's weird and it's like needs explaining, but it's going to be an amazing explanation.
But maybe a role that you've seen Marlon Brando in.
Yeah, it's like All Quiet on All Quiet on the Western Front.
It's basically Bruce Banner
on the waterfront.
He's Superman's dad in this. but it was fun. I mean, but I will say the art.
It's a little 90s chic.
It's definitely very 90s.
I felt like I liked it a little more than his more recent stuff.
Well, see, I like the stuff he did on Hunter Killer. I actually thought that was
really
good.
I like Hulk a lot in this. I think Hulk looks really cool in this.
It's just
Somebody
in the store was pointing out this has four inkers, but it looks like it has no inkers.
Yeah.
It looks like it's just like blown out pencils, like Extreme X-Men or something.
A lot better than that.
No, definitely a lot better than that. Yeah. It just stinks of the 90s a little bit, but I mean, it's solid. I'm not a big Mark Silvestri fan. That being said, I will continue reading this Hulk series because I'm really interested in where it's going. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Cool. I think we're going to set a record. I think we're going to do a podcast under an hour, which we haven't done in like 3 months or something.
I think
we
have recently.
Have we? Mm-hmm. That's good. All right, moving on to Legion Secret Origin number one. This is by Paul Levitz and Chris Batista, who I think was World Heavyweight Champion for a while in the WWF. Nick, what did you think of this issue?
I didn't read it. I said last week when I read Star Trek Legion that I was never going to read another Legion book again, and I stuck to it. Even though we're going to be talking about this book, I have not read it. I didn't even look at it. I just like saw the cover and I was like, nope.
Well, actually, I don't think we're going to talk about this book too much, to be honest. Julian had a pretty... You shouldn't swear on the podcast, but can you tell people what you thought about it?
I thought it was trash.
Yeah.
It's not good.
I think that's fair. I'll say, having read these two other Legion books that just recently came out, I actually thought that this was a lot better because it kind of introduces you to the Legion of Superheroes. And one of my problems I always have with their books is I feel like,
who are these people?
Yeah, whenever I try to jump.
You're 18 steps behind.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like 40 years behind always. But I thought that this did a good job. Like, it's a secret origin similar to the Superman secret origin or the Green Lantern thing, in that it kind of recasts all these characters into whatever their new roles are going to be in this universe. So, I don't know. I thought it was...
I think my big grief with this book would just be that they have this opportunity to take one of the most confusing series and make it really simple And I think they set it up to be really confusing again.
They do. They definitely do that. I mean, and
well, it's Paul Levitz who knows too much about the Legion to actually set them up as something new. Like, he doesn't know what people don't know about the Legion. You know, he's written the Legion for so long.
And I think that's the thing with Legion books at this point. I mean, even though this starts from the beginning, it's like, if you want to read Legion books, you have to read Legion books.
I feel like you either read Legion books or you don't read Legion books, and this probably isn't a good time to start reading Legion
Never
books.
Again.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say if you're curious, I mean, go back, read the Mark Waid stuff. Or even better yet, go get one of the old showcases that Jim Shooter wrote when he was like 13, which are like incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, not for me, but I'd say the best of the Legion books that have come out recently.
Yeah, the best thing about it to me was that I didn't read it.
That's true. Nick definitely did not read
it. Put that on the back of the book.
Yeah. All right. All right. So moving on to the complete opposite end of the spectrum. I want to say something a little bit about this. So this is the Monaro Library hardcover. This is two stories, Indian Summer, which
and
is
Milo Monaro.
Yeah. Milo Monaro. Yeah. And with Hugo Pratt. And I feel kind of bad. Julian mostly reads superhero comics.
I do.
But we put this comic in his hand. I read a lot of European comics. I've read Milo Manara comics before, so I kind of knew what to
really
expect.
I really just had no idea what I was in for.
So this comic starts up with basically like a rape scene and then a lot of incest.
Yeah.
And just like very Milo Manara kind of stuff going on. And so I just want
to... The flip side to that being that you're trapped in this like totally breathtaking art.
Yeah, the art.
Just phenomenal.
That's the thing. And I mean, I like the story, actually. I think it's well told. I think the writing is good. But I could see that the subject matter would be very off-putting.
It's kind of racy.
It's just a little bit racy. So, but I will say this is some of the best art I've seen by Manara.
It's awesome. The art is incredible, like... Yeah, I was just like reading it and I was like, this guy really, he can really draw grass. Like, it was like every detail I saw was like, wow, that guy really knows how to draw a piece of wood sticking out of the ground. Like, everything he draws is like really, really well done.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's incredibly vibrant. I mean, it's incredible. And I mean, I think this is probably his best art for me.
Yeah.
Maybe because I'm a huge Mobius fan and I think that this is his stuff that's most similar to Mobius in style. Yeah. But the story is...
It's uncomfortable because it's like kind of like done in a really like sexy, lascivious style, but it's like about like incest and rape. Yeah, so it's kind of like,
I mean, I don't want to get too much into the story because even all the major elements of the story are very depraved.
Yeah.
But I will say if you're a Manara fan, this is a beautiful book. It is $60, which is rough.
Yeah.
But I bought it though.
Yeah.
I just love the artwork so much. And both stories kind of take the main story is Indian Summer. The second backup story is good too. I can't actually remember. I think it's called The Paper Man, but it's kind of set in that same kind of colonial Native American setting. Yeah. But I mean, if you're a Manara fan, it's fantastic. If you're sexually depraved, it's really good too. But
all you perverts out there,
if you're
read
a prude,
this.
Read something else.
Yeah, and if you love great comic art, though, definitely at least take a look at it. It's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on. Yeah. So my apologies.
Hey.
Moving on to something very similar.
No,
yeah, this moving on to the complete opposite again. This is Power Lunch. This is Oni put out two kids graphic novels this week, and this is the first one. This is by Jay Torres and Dean Tripp. Julian, why don't you tell people what this is about?
Yeah, Power Lunch is about a kid who has superpowers that are only activated by his consuming colorful food.
That's what it's about.
That's it.
Teaches kids to good food.
No, it doesn't.
No, I don't think so, because it's like bubble gum and like
well, it teaches them to try more things.
Yeah, I think
because the other main character is like, I only eat this, I only eat that, and he's like, you should eat everything because it gives me superpowers.
And then it's kind of about bullying and like standing up to bullies and stuff.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm certainly not the target audience for this. I preferred Casper's Scare School.
I agree.
I love Dean Tripp's art. I think it's great, and it's just, I don't know.
But it's great for like this the age group it's aiming for. You know,
you
like,
think it is though,
like 7 or 8 year old.
When you were 8, would you have liked this?
I thought it was almost a little too safe. You know,
yeah,
a little like too
so.
Passe.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah. I wanted to see the bully get punched in the face.
Yeah,
but I guess that's not like a good message to send to kids.
Yeah,
that's what my mom always told me to do, though. If he punches you, just punch
him in the face. Yeah.
But so that's the first of these two books. The second one is Sketch Monsters. This is by Joshua Williamson and Vinny Navarrete. Nick, why don't you tell people? Did you read this?
Yes.
Yeah, the basic plot. It's pretty simple, but
yeah, it's basically just about a little girl who likes to draw monsters, and that's like her passion. She draws some monsters, and they come to life, and she has to go out and catch them. It's kind of like teaches kids to be creative a little bit. It's like, don't be afraid to, and also teaches them to deal with their emotions.
Yeah, like express yourself.
Because all the different monsters are based on different aspects of like her emotions, I guess, and so she's kind of like learning how to deal with her emotions and keep them in check. And like, I don't know, it's cool. It's neat to
yeah, it's an interesting idea. Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, she's very kind of detached,
yeah,
and kind of suppresses her emotions. And yeah,
it's a kind of cute way to teach kids, you know,
that it's okay to cry. It's okay, yeah, to, you know, yeah, to be goofy and be a kid.
Yeah.
Which is not a problem.
To be angry, you know, it's all normal.
That I ever had, but
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I would just cry all the time.
But I would give this long to like younger, you know, like 5 or 6.
Yeah, and like for little kids that like to draw. I mean, I think it's fun. Yeah. It's definitely probably for like a 5 or 6 year old. Like people that like, if you have a kid and they liked Otto's Orange Day, I think this is kind of along the lines of that.
So we got a good amount of kids' comics this week, though.
Yeah, 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 which is good. I mean, it's always nice to have stuff for kids to read.
I wish we had this last week when we got the question about like
good kids' comics.
Good kids' comics.
We'll just be like, they're all coming out next week.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so moving on to something that was amazing. This is Spaceman number 1.
Spaceman.
Yes,
Spaceman. This is the first part of a 9-issue miniseries by Brian Azzarello and Eduardo Risso, the team that did 100 bullets.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love this book.
Yeah, I'll be reading all of this.
Yeah, but Julian, why don't you tell people what Spaceman is about?
Oh boy, thanks for the task. Yeah, it's about a genetically engineered ape man whose initial purpose in life was to be a space
traveler,
yeah, explorer
to go to Mars,
and who now is, I guess, just kind of a like minimum wage.
He's like a garbage scavenger.
He's a jabron, you know, just like hangs out.
Yeah, because he's like really powerful, but he's got kind of like, he's a little slow. He's basically just engineered to be like a worker.
Yeah.
So, and to be on the surface of Mars, so his body's all weird and like, it's awesome.
Yeah, there are a lot of different things going on in this book that make it pretty definitely interesting. I think,
layers.
For one, is the kind of the world they set up and the dichotomy of the rich people in this world. It's kind of like a future Earth, or yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, he lives with the poor people, basically.
Yeah, and so the poor people have their own kind of language that's very similar to something like Clockwork Orange, where you kind of have to read this book twice, actually, because you kind of learn the language, yeah, as you go along, and then as you go back, if you go back and read it again, you can kind of suss out all the intricacy of it, yeah, and stuff.
And
like
they live in like a flooded out city, basically, and yeah, they get around on boats and stuff.
But then there's sort of a celebrity culture that still exists in the world and like an upper class. And I guess kind of the main plot besides this character's life is there's like a sort of Brad and Angelina type couple and their child gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
And then he kind of becomes involved in that whole situation.
Yeah, because he's like he has his own boat and he works for like strip mining, like,
yeah, like salvage or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He like salvages metal and stuff like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
yeah. So, I mean, a really, really fantastic book.
I'd definitely
book
say pick it up.
And it is $1.
Yes.
And it's a full comic. I mean, they're trying to get you hooked. Yeah, there's no excuse not to read this. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Probably the book of the week. But there's another book that was pretty amazing this week.
Definitely amazing.
The other one might be better.
Yeah. Well, it's so different.
It's
That book is
Star Wars Crimson Empire 3. No, that's not.
that's
not
definitely
it.
Not.
But
it.
I actually kind of like this. But so this is Star Wars Crimson Empire 3, Empire Lost, number 1 of 6. This is by Mike Richardson and Paul Galassi.
It's a sequel to Star Wars Crimson Empire 2, if you didn't know.
Yeah, which was the sequel to Star Wars Crimson Empire without a number.
No, without a number, yeah.
So basically the Crimson Empire series, I mean, I don't think there's been a book since like 1997 or something like that. But
yeah, it's been a while.
But it's about the last Royal Guard.
Yeah.
And in and the Royal Guards were the guys that guarded the Emperor in the Star Wars.
The sweet red suits.
If you haven't seen Star Wars, it's a series of movies created by George Lucas.
Yeah, it's true. Created by Akira Kurosawa.
I don't think anybody listening to this podcast doesn't know what Star Wars is.
I think that's probably fair. But so in the first series, he's like hunting down a traitorous other Crimson Guard guy. I think in the second one, he's trying to assassinate Luke Skywalker. And then
this one, he's trying to assassinate Luke
Well,
Skywalker
yeah, and this is a continuation of that. So
Yeah, the continued attempts to assassinate Luke Skywalker.
So, he's trying to get revenge.
So, yeah, I mean, Nick, what would you say is the basic plot of this issue?
Well, basically, it's what's his name again? Kate Credo.
He has a name.
He has like a weird name.
Just keep going. I'll
yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, this guy.
Keir Kanos.
Keir Kanos. It's about him. It starts off with him. Well, actually, it starts off with some crazy thing. But then it has him being chased by bounty hunters. And as he's trying to make his way to where Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker are to kill them.
Yavin 4.
Yavin 4, yeah. And so he's trying to make his way to there and kill them. He ends up fighting. He ends up getting tangled up with Boba Fett. And then you see a little bit of Han Solo and Leia's kids. And then
it's
awesome.
It's weird to kind of try to describe this because it's so entrenched in the Star Wars universe.
I also feel like it would read a little better if I'd read the last two, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually read them, but like, you know, whatever, 15 years ago. Yeah. But I still thought this was fun. I really like Paul Gillespie's art. I know Julian is
a
big fan. But I love it. Nick, you like his stuff too. He did Time Bomb.
Yeah, I loved him on Time Bomb. That was great.
Yeah.
He did a lot of stuff back in the day.
But yeah, it's like if you don't know a lot about Star Wars, I feel like this is something to probably pass by. Yeah. But if you're into it,
if you're entrenched,
yeah,
like, this is definitely the best Star Wars series that's coming out right now.
Like when I was younger, I read like Star Wars novels because I was nerdy like that. So when I saw like Han Solo and Leia's kids, I was like, oh look, it's Jason, Jaina, and Anakin. Like because I know that dumb crap.
Yeah, I was like, why is this kid named Anakin? And you're like, oh well, you see, in Crimson Empire 1.
Yeah, I'm like in the Yuuzhan Vong books. But anyway,
Lord.
Yeah, yeah, it's really bad. It was a disease, but I got over it. Now I just read comic books.
Episode 1 was the cure.
Yeah, that was definitely, I think, for probably a lot of people. But if you like Star Wars a lot, I mean, this is definitely one of the best Star Wars comics that's come out in a really long time, probably since the beginning of Legacy, which was also very good.
It's totally rad, bro.
It's totally rad. All right, so we just got a couple more comics to talk about, then we're going to take a little break. The next one is Stitched. This is by Garth Ennis and Mike Wolfer.
It's a prequel to Lilo and Stitch. It's about how Stitch got created.
That's definitely not true.
That was definitely covered in Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So.
Well, but it's more like elaborate. It's like, that's all it's about.
Oh, it's about the science?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Julian, you want to tell people what Stitch was about? It's pretty simple.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of about a bizarro world that is similar to our own, but different in that there are apparently some supernatural zombie-esque elements taking place in the Middle East.
No, it takes place in our world.
Oh.
Like now.
All right. Well, apparently there are some supernatural zombie-esque elements taking place in the Middle East currently that are being depicted in this book. And it kind of revolves around a troop of U.S. soldiers. And I guess they're British?
Yeah. And they get basically they get...
They're UN, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're stranded. And they're kind of fighting off this kind of monster attack. It's got a slight kind of like Resident Evil vibe.
Yeah, they're fighting the Taliban, right? Is that what's happening?
They are initially, and then the kind of these monsters show up, and it's seems like the kind of thing that could be interesting. And I like Garth Ennis sometimes, but it's like really boring for some reason.
Yeah, it's one of the things where they really aren't showing you enough direction for you to actually like catch on to anything.
The thing is, I thought it would seem kind of cool, but it seems very familiar. Like it feels like any like zombie thing you've
read. Yeah, it feels like Crossed a little bit, or like the Kia Z thing that came out last week.
It's kind of neat because it seems like they're like more like being controlled by somebody, like instead of just being mindless zombies that are wandering around the desert. So there's kind of like a weird supernatural thing going on maybe, but
and there's like this really graphic gore scene in the middle, but it feels like it's very going through the paces. Yeah. And Mike Wolfer's art, it's not a big help. His stuff's
I liked it all right in this,
really.
It's kind of stiff.
Yeah, I think it's a little stiff.
I like the right parts.
Yeah, but
it's a little stiff definitely, but there's some stuff I really liked
overall. I mean, I was kind of excited about this because I think Garth Ennis, he kind of has his couple things he does. He does his military comics and he does his like kind of gross out horror comics. And I was like, oh, cool. This will be these two things together.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it doesn't have enough of that like fun of his horror stuff. Usually does. And then it doesn't have the sophistication that his military stuff usually does. So for me, it just kind of the whole thing kind of fell flat.
Yeah. I'm going to read the second issue and kind of see if it gets better.
Yeah, it might, you know, it might go in a direction. This is all very much. It almost feels like the first scene in a horror movie where you're just watching characters get killed.
Yeah, there's a few little interesting things. That's the thing, though. This is like an adaptation of a movie, right?
Or something. I don't know if this was made first or what, but there is a movie of this that Garth Ennis directed, I think. But
oh, weird.
Yeah. So Stitched, yeah, it's definitely not the best thing Garth Ennis has ever done.
Yeah, but I thought it was all right.
Yeah. All right, so we got one more book we're going to talk about, and then we're going to take a little break. But this is an absolutely amazing book.
Yeah, this is the crown jewel.
Yeah, this is...
pick of the week, bro.
This is Wolverine and the X-Men by Jason Aaron with art by Chris Bachalo. Yeah, Nick, why don't you tell people what the basic kind of plot of this book is?
Well, it's funny because Jason Aaron wrote three books this week. We had Incredible Hulk, which we talked about, and Scalped, which is always amazing.
Always amazing, yeah.
And now Wolverine and the X-Men, which is a direct kind of follow-up to Schism. It's completely different in tone. So it's basically Wolverine's moved back into the original Xavier school, and he's rebuilding it as a new school to basically teach young mutants how to use their powers and deal with them and actually just be a real school. Like, there's a faculty, and this first issue is basically the superintendents for the Department of Education or whatever coming around to see if everything's in order. And so they're walking around the mansion, and every time they meet somebody, something really crazy happens, and it keeps getting worse and worse. And at the same time, it's a really good way for them to introduce the school and some of the different faculty and students and stuff. And it's incredibly funny, and they introduce some amazing new characters. So they're not quite new, but they're crazy in this. They're different.
Fresh.
Very different. Very fresh.
Yeah. No, I definitely enjoyed this comic a lot. I thought it was kind of like what I remembered the 90s cartoon being. That kind of like that kind of attitude of like, yeah, just kind of like the X-Men, like having fun, being like the X-Men, going to school, but also being these crazy hyper-powered individuals.
Yeah, I think the fun is like the main thing in this. Like, this is, I've never read an X-Men book that's this funny.
Yeah, I'd agree.
It's like the way they go through, it's like every time they move to like a new room, basically there's like a new set of characters,
yeah,
and the reactions from these inspectors are hilarious. It's like dealing with stuff like intergalactic gremlins that have escaped through like a portal that Beast created, and like Quentin Quire, who like hates Wolverine, is like making trouble. I don't know, it's just,
and Dupe is the receptionist.
Yeah, Dupe from X-Statics is in it, which is awesome. And they're like
yeah, I think they did a really good job of pulling out the characters you'd want to see in a title like this, and also giving you a few surprises, like Husk being a teacher.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
She's such a lame character, but it makes such perfect sense for her to like have a teaching position at the school.
Yeah, there's like a list in the back of the faculty, and it's like an amazing group. Like, Beast is the vice principal. Gambit is a senior staff member. Rachel Gray is a senior staff member. Rogue is a senior staff member. And Iceman is a senior staff member.
And their accountant.
And then there's like,
yeah,
there's like junior staff members, which are amazing too. It's because it's Cannonball, Chamber, Husk, Karma, Frenzy, and Dupe.
And don't forget Toad is
and
the janitor.
Toad is the janitor.
And Toad is like the janitor.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I think what this series has that's been lacking in X-Men recently is humor. And he has and Jason Aaron seems to have a really good grasp of these characters, and you can tell in these little just like single page things for each one that that he really knows what he wants to do with these characters and like where this series is going to go. I think it offers a really good balance with Uncanny X-Force,
yeah,
which is like amazing,
epic, dark action,
yeah, hyper mature.
Yeah, like, so it's that kind of what people loved about the Chris Claremont X-Men stuff back in the 80s and 70s is like, I think what those two books have when you put them together, what these two books have when you put them together.
They do a really good job of establishing the school and that it's like going to be like exactly like a school. It reminds me a lot of Avengers Academy too. It's like young students kind of learning to use their powers and stuff. And there's an amazing all of the students that they introduce are incredible.
Yeah, they made some great picks.
The most surprising one to me was Brew, who's like one of the Brood or whatever, who was in the recent issues of Astonishing X-Men, who I thought was just going to be like forgotten about and never like seen again. Cause he's like a mutant Brood who's like a little kid Brood, and he wears like glasses and like a suit, and he's a little like nerdy, like alien. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're a fan of X-Men, or if you just want to, if you maybe haven't read X-Men in a while and you want to get back into it.
If you've been waiting for the right reason to come back, this is it.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly.
I definitely agree with that. So yeah, I mean, you can go back and forth. I think probably you guys probably both think Wolverine and the X-Men is probably the best book of the week, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I really like Spaceman. I thought it was...
It's close. It's very close for me.
They're so different. It's really hard. It's really hard to say. But either way, this book is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, this is what I had the most fun reading.
Yeah.
I had fun reading Spaceman, but this was just like joy, like in a comic. It was sweet.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff this week. So we're going to take a little musical break, and then we're going to come back, talk a little bit about Batman Arkham City, which is incredible. Phenomenal. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
and then we're going to do our picks of the week. So we'll see you guys in a minute. All right, that was a little music
interlude.
Yeah, it was a little musical interlude. I don't think I'm going to put an MP3 of that one up on there because it's not quite as finished as the other song, but whatever. All right, so every once in a while we like to talk about other comic-y things, and this week I'd say a pretty big game came out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Arkham City, which is the sequel to Arkham Asylum, which was probably the best Batman game ever.
Definitely.
And now,
until now.
And now this is the best Batman game ever. So I played it for a little bit, but so I'll talk about it a little bit. But Julian, you finished it already,
right? I beat
it, yeah.
So dominated that game.
What did you think?
I thought it blew me away. It was just like every time I thought I had seen every excellent element of it, it would add some new layer or show me something I hadn't seen before and just totally change the game on me.
On a dopeness scale of 1 to 10, how dope is it?
It's an 11.
It's an 11 on the dope.
For sure.
That's pretty dope.
That's pretty dope.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one cool thing about this, I mean, Arkham Asylum, as cool as it was all a little confined.
Yeah, definitely.
It was like walk down hallway, go into room, fight some guys, you know, rinse, repeat.
Right.
But in Arkham City, there's so much more geography to deal with. And there's so much more height to the levels.
You have to do geography in it?
Yeah.
But you can like, you know, you can hang out like on gargoyles on the tops of buildings like the Batman.
Yeah, I think this is the Batman that you always wanted to be. It's like the ear to the ground, kind of like monitoring events unfolding before him.
And is he very street?
Yeah.
How street?
Totally thug.
Totally street.
Yeah. Nick has not played this game.
Yeah, just, not at all.
I don't play video games.
But yeah, so.
No, I'm not kidding.
I feel like everything about from the little bit I played, everything about the first game seems to be very refined.
Yeah.
The combat system. The
combat is beautiful.
It's so smooth. The way you like move from character to character. And as like, as I was fighting, I only did fought a few groups of people, but like just you would do awesome moves.
Oh yeah.
Like it was nothing.
Yeah, for sure.
I've never felt so much like I was Batman.
I totally want to play this.
I think the better thing about this game is also that you, like you said, in Asylum, you kind of are just kind of pipelined from like event to event. But here you kind of get to delegate. Like you'll get a tip that like, oh, hey, the Penguin is hanging out at X location and doing Y. But there's also some other stuff going on if you want to go like see what the Riddler's doing or just try to stop like small crimes or muggings, just kind of patrol. So it's much more like you taking control and kind of like.
Is there any like communication type mini games? We have to interrogate people and ask questions. No,
no,
no. But there's some cool stuff. There's like the detective mode in it.
Yeah,
where you kind of you go into this kind of almost like an infrared mode where you can kind of see clues and things like that that are left around. Like the part I played, the Joker tries to kill Catwoman, and then he misses. He has like a sniper rifle, and so you go into detective mode and you find where the bullet hit, and you see where the trajectory is of like where it came from. And you use that to like go find where the Joker is.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, you trace it back.
So I mean, I imagine there's a lot of really cool stuff.
Oh yeah,
like that
this is definitely like Batman, the world's greatest detective, and not like Batman, a guy who's really good at fighting people inside of rooms.
Yeah, even though he's still really good at that.
Even though
too.
He's so good at that.
Yeah, yeah, no, and I mean, if you played the first one, there's like a lot of the first one was this kind of glide thing where you glide in and kick people. But now there's like a lot more control on that. I feel like
yeah, you can like do dive bombs and like pull back up and like.
Yeah.
God, I really want to play this.
Yeah.
Get your hands on this game because
yeah.
I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, if you like video games and you like Batman.
And you like Batman.
This is definitely the game to check out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we just want to throw that in there and let people know that Arkham City is awesome.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
It's dope.
All right, so let's go through our quick picks. This is where we kind of talk about a few of the things that we really like this week that are not the new books that came out, because we talk about number one so much.
Let's make it snappy.
Yeah, this thing has been going on for a long time. Let's start with Nick. What are your quick picks for this week?
All right, I had some other ones written down here, but I changed it a little bit.
Oh, that's fine.
I wanted to talk about Avengers Academy, but I decided that we were going to talk about it during the other thing earlier. So we already kind of said Avengers Academy is awesome. So I got three other ones here, right? I got Amazing Spider-Man from this week, which is the end of Spider Island, which ends in awesome fashion. And it's been really fun throughout. That's the main thing about it. And there's even in this one, it's really fun, but there's also like kind of amazingly well thought out character moments. There's a great scene with Mary Jane and Peter Parker, and they have a little bit of an exchange. And you see that Mary Jane's kind of like, oh, I still love him. And like, there's weird stuff like there's like, but it's done so well that it's great. Gladstone School for World Conquerors. I don't think we ever talked about it on here before.
Yeah, I don't think we have.
But it's incredible. Imagine it's like a combination of Chew and Invincible. It's got all the humor of Chew, but mixed with this story of kids who are training to be supervillains. But in the real world, in their real world, the superheroes and villains have had a truce, and they don't know about that. So they're like kind of learning to be supervillains, but they don't know that there's like the superheroes and villains are just faking it.
Yeah, it's just all for show.
And they're slowly starting to learn that. And in this issue, there's like a crazy fight with like a hero, and something really insane happens. It's got the drama from Invincible too. It's awesome. And then the last one I got is Infinite Horizon number 5.
Finally.
Five of 6. Although I seem to remember it being an 8-issue miniseries when it first started.
But that was like 3 years ago, so things have changed.
So it's been like 3 or 4 years since issue 4 came out. And I have to say, I wasn't sure what was going on. I was like, I kind of remember this being more in the real world, but there's like crazy things happening in this. But that being said, even though I wasn't quite sure what was happening, it was amazing. Everything that was happening was really cool. And the art is phenomenal by Phil Noto. And it's really, really good. Even like, you don't even have to know what's going on. You could not have read any of the other issues and kind of like enjoy it. It's awesome. Yeah.
Cool. What about you, Julian? What do you have?
For my first one, I had Daredevil number 5, because that series is just incredible. It's beautiful to look at.
Was this Marcos Martin right now or Paolo Rivera?
Marcos Martin.
Marcos Martin. Yeah.
No, the writing is terrific. It's really like kind of like a triumphant return to what Daredevil was about, I feel.
Fun Daredevil.
Yeah, fun Daredevil. And less of the serious like gang violence.
Very broody. Yeah.
Not that was bad, but
yeah, but there was, it lasted long enough.
Yeah. It's gone on. And then for my second, I had Kirby Genesis number 4, just because I can't get enough Kirby.
Yeah.
I just can't stop.
And Kirby Genesis is cool. It takes like
kind of taking his designs and sketches and putting them into this new world where there haven't been superheroes before. So it's just kind of like 0 to insanity in 10 seconds. And
yeah, 0 to Kirby.
Yeah, 0 to Kirby. Exactly. And then my last one would be Secret Avengers number 18, which has been a really great series. And they're kind of doing this one-shot thing.
It's like right 6 now. Issues. Warren Ellis is just writing it with awesome artists.
Yeah, just great one-shots. And this last one was amazing.
Who's art by in this one? Oh, David... David Aja or Aha? I never know how to pronounce it.
Oh, yeah.
His art is incredible.
And this one's about Shang-Chi, right?
Yeah. It's a really fun series right now, and it's kind of the more... I'd say it's almost the more laid-back of the Avengers series happening at the moment.
It's because it's kind of its own thing. They're kind of like the covert ops Avengers. And no, it's these last three issues have been incredible.
Yeah.
Cool. My picks for this week are... my first is Disney Mickey Mouse Volume 2 Treasure Island hardcover. This is the Fantagraphics Floyd Gottfriedson collections of the old Mickey Mouse strips, which are just like, you know, full of personality, and Mickey Mouse is so great in them, and Gottfriedson's stuff is fantastic. I mean, besides Carl Barks, he's probably the seminal Disney artist, and yeah, these are just so much fun, and they're they're all comic strips, but they all make these really big, almost like Indiana Jones type adventure stories that are incredible.
They're really incredible. Yeah.
It's definitely worth checking out. It's very cool stuff.
One question though is Goofy in this one?
Not that I don't think so. I don't think Goofy's in this early stuff.
I'm not reading it. I only read Mickey Mouse comics with Goofy in them.
You only read Goof Troop.
I just want to hear like Goofy go like, oh, yeah, yeah, when he's falling off a cliff or whatever.
That's an understandable thing to want to read about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People falling off cliffs. my second is Spider Island Cloak and Dagger number 3, just because this has been awesome. I mean, I think we talked about the first issue, but I just want to say that it's still really, really good.
So dope.
This is Nick Spencer and Emma Rios on art, and it's a great Cloak and Dagger series. Going back to what we were talking about if we had our own Marvel New 52, I mean, just a complete ongoing series
this
by
team.
Nick Spencer with yeah. And Emma Rios on Cloak and Dagger would be great. He seems to have a really good handle on the characters, and Emma Rios has this kind of manga influenced art that's just absolutely fantastic.
On a side note, there's a Cloak and Dagger television series in the works. I hope it's kind of like this.
I think, is it going to be like this, or is it going to be like the movie Cloak and Dagger?
Who knows?
no, it's like this. I hope it's like this.
Yeah, I hope so. I it could be interesting. And then my last pick is just Walking Dead number 90. I just
never heard of it.
Yeah, with the new Walking Dead series coming out, I mean, it's if you're not reading Walking Dead, I mean, don't read this issue. Go back to the beginning and read it. But yeah, it's still good. 90 issues in, still as good as it's ever been.
That reminds me, we should talk about the Walking Dead TV show. Not right now, but
yeah, but
next week after we watch the episode, we should talk about
it. Yeah, that sounds like something worth talking about. Yeah, so maybe we'll do that next week. We'll have the quiz next week. And
yes.
I want to thank Julian for joining us this week.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. All right.
Yeah, there's a little fanfare for you. Yeah, so
thanks for Julian and his podcast.
Yeah, and we'll be back next week with more comics stuff.
Something like that.
See you guys later.
Yeah.